that song. I heard that song for the first time last night. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. I heard that for the first time last night at our Saturday 5 o'clock service, and I was like, wow, that is exactly what I needed. And that song just helped me to enter into the prayer that I didn't even know that I needed to pray. And I pray that that's what you just experienced, and that you'll continue to experience that. And God is just so good. He is on the move in so many different ways. And that song it's deep. You want to know why? Because the lyrics, they're based in the scriptures. It's so deep. It's so rich. It's like Costco chocolate cake. You ever had that cake? And you're just like, oh my word, that's just so rich. It's so good. And we need that for our souls too. We need that for our souls. And in fact, as we've been reading through the whole Holy Bible, it's been deep. It's been rich for so many of us. And like Pastor Mike said in the announcements earlier today, I really encourage you, if you've either fallen off track or you haven't started, now's the time to start. You're halfway through. Start on this half and catch the other half later, because it has been like Costco chocolate cake. It has been so, so good, so rich. And this book of Romans that we've been going through, we're wrapping that one up today. Romans runs deep. Everyone say, that's deep. That's deep. Romans runs deep. And I know personally that Romans runs deep, because the first time that I read the Bible for myself and I felt like God was speaking to me, I was in seventh grade. And I was here at Lutheran Church of Hope in our Power Life ministry, our confirmation ministry. And I was reading the book of Romans for myself. I didn't understand half of it. But every now and again, I get to something, I'd be like, wow, I think that God, he wanted to say that to me, because that just hits right where I am. And that's my prayer for you today, too, that this message would hit right where you are. And my prayer is that you would experience a little bit more peace, that you would feel God leading you where your soul can be settled in his peace in a very unsettling world. Everyone say, that's deep. That's deep. So I want to start today's message this way. About 3 years ago, my daughter Emma gave us a little scare. She was 6 weeks old, and she had a really high fever one night in the middle of the night. And, you know, like an amateur dad, I'm like, just give her some Tylenol. And it was high enough that my wife, who's a pro, said, no, we have to go to the hospital. And so I'm like, the hospital? And so we go to the hospital in the middle of the night. And let me just like cut to the question that some of you are asking, like, is she okay? She's okay. Some of you, you've been praying like since then. Just stop praying for that. She's okay. Just pray that now she will obey her parents, okay? That's what we need prayers for, that for sure. So she's okay. We stayed in the hospital maybe 5 nights or so, as they were trying to figure out why was she spiking this fever and how are we gonna treat it. And what do we got to do moving forward? After we got out of the hospital, there was some follow-up appointments. And so one time we were at the follow-up appointment, and it was a great appointment. Everything was going well, looking good. And we left the appointment. And you know, there's that person that sits at the desk that like says, okay, do you want to pay your copay now? When do you want to set up your next appointment? And they have the little stickers for the kids, you know. Or some of you, you're adults and you don't have kids. You're like, yeah, I thought those were for everyone. No, just teasing. I don't put those stickers on. I know you're thinking I do, but I give them to my kids. Okay, Elsa, cars, all the things. Anyway, so we stopped by this gal, and she's so sweet, so nice. She's like, oh, I'm so glad your daughter's feeling well. And I'm like, oh, she's so friendly. This is great. And she says, hey, would you like to pay your copay now, or do you want us to send it to you in the mail? And I'm like, well, even though it's a specialist and the copay is a little higher, I think we can just settle up now. It'll be okay. And so we settle up the copay. She says, you actually have one other one if you want to take care of that one now. I'm like, oh, must have forgotten a copay along the way. And I said, sure, let's just settle that up. And she says, okay, that'll be $25,000. And I'm like, wait, dollars or yen? Because that doesn't sound right. And I didn't even hear the other numbers because I think I blacked out. And so I'm freaking out at this point. Like, she was friendly, she was my friend, she was so sweet to me and my daughter, and now she's like my worst enemy. I don't want to look her in the face. And then, like, you know when you're in, because this was like kind of like in the waiting room, okay? And you know when you're in a room and you feel like all the eyes, like they travel from their magazine and they're looking at you? And you know what she said to me? She said, will that be card or cash? And I'm like, do you think I got one of those briefcases? You put a little handcuffs on you so they don't steal it? Like, cash? $25K? And so I pulled out all my cash, and I'm just kidding. I do not have that kind of cash. And I knew that we had a hospital bill, but I didn't know that it looked like that. And I know some of you, you're hearing our little pity party story, and you are like, you should hear about our hospital bills. You know, that's chump change compared to the stuff that we're getting. And I understand that, and God's blessings on you. But in that moment, man, my anxiety really rose. And so I asked her this question, like, hey, could you check for me? Has that run through insurance or not? And so she starts clicking away, and what seemed like 45 minutes later, she discovered that, no, it had not run through insurance. We breathed a sigh of relief. We stopped our chanting the Lord's Prayer, like just praying, God, please save us. We need redemption. We need salvation from this hospital bill. And so we were so relieved. But I bring up that story because, you know, when you find out that you owe something, it changes things. It changes things in our relationships. It changes our emotions. When you find out, whether it's financial or something else, but I mean, some of you know this because you loaned money to someone in your family, and Christmas is a little different now, you know what I mean? Or someone loaned you money, and now it's like they're watching everything that you do. See, the truth is that whether it's money or anything else in our life, it's hard. It's hard to settle down when we're not settled up. Some of you, you've seen the movie Dumb and Dumber. Raise your hand if you've seen Dumb and Dumber. Okay, theological classic. You're all sinners for watching it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is actually one of my favorite, I'm embarrassed to admit this, one of my favorite comedies. And there's this scene where Lloyd Christmas, he actually finds the briefcase, okay, that would have paid my hospital bill. And he finds that, and he's bringing it to this girl that he has a crush on. Well, it turns out she's involved in like this ransom scam thing. Sorry, I'm ruining the movie because it's been like, what, 20, 30 years? I don't know. And so the bad guy catches up to them, and he opens up the briefcase of cash, and it's all this paper. And he says, where's my money? And Lloyd Christmas, he says, well, that's as good as money, sir. Those are IOUs. See that one? It's 275,000. Might want to hold on to that. And of course, he's not settled. Whether someone owes you or you owe someone, it's hard to be settled in life, in our relationships, in our souls, when we're not settled up. And the truth is, there's some of us that we are lacking peace. We have tension in our relationships. Maybe there's something between us and God right now because something's not settled up, and we can't settle down. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, why did you show us a meme instead of a movie clip? This is Lutheran Church of Hope. You're supposed to have movie clips. Here's my answer to you, good sir. Have you ever tried editing out all those cuss words before? That one wasn't possible, okay? I mean, with God, all things are possible, but that one wouldn't have made any sense. Okay, let's move on. It's hard to settle down when we're not settled up, and it's not just about money, right? In your life, maybe someone owes you money or you owe someone money, and it's past due. Maybe it's an apology. There's someone that you've been waiting for them to say sorry for so long, and it's been weird, it's been awkward, but you're just waiting on them to finally own up. They owe it to you. Maybe there's someone that you owe the truth to them. You've been sitting on the truth for so long, and you know what the truth is, and you know, I mean, Jesus says the truth will set you free, but you're not sure what's going to happen when this truth comes out, and so it's just been challenging. It's been difficult. For others of you, it's time. Maybe there's someone in your life. I mean, we all have people in our life that we wish that we had more time for, and we owe it to them. Just being honest, as a parent, there's not a day that goes by, even if I spend the whole day with them, with my kids, I'm like, did I spend enough time where they can feel secure that I'll always be there for them and that they know that they know that they know that they're loved by me and by God? Sometimes there's people that we owe them some time. Sometimes there's people that we owe them some respect, and maybe it's not because every move that they've made in life is a respectable move. But there are people and positions and places and roles that maybe we're called. In fact, the Bible calls us to give them honor and respect, and yet it's so challenging to see past the other thing that we can't respect. If you grew up in the 90s like me, whenever you were talking and someone said the same word at the same time that you did, you would say, "Jinx, you owe me a soda." And so maybe you grew up and there's a lot of people that owe you a soda, okay? And you're very thirsty right now. I get it. I understand. See, we all owe something to someone else. And someone probably owes us something because that's relationships. So whether it's our financial debts, our relational debts, even our spiritual debts, the debt of our sin, all of these debts, they change our relationships. And it's hard to settle down when we're not settled up. It's hard to find peace in our souls, in our relationships, in our life when we're not settled up. And the Apostle Paul knew this, and that's why he was teaching the church in Rome through the letter that he wrote. He wrote them to talk about, how do you get settled up with God? How do you get right with God? And he spends the majority of his letter talking about that, and then he starts talking about, okay, since we're settled up with God, what does that mean for all of our other relationships? For all our other relationships where if we're settled up with God, we should probably get settled up with others, right? We should probably address some of those things. If God loved us like that, how are we to love others? And here is what he says. He says, owe nothing. Everyone say nothing. Now, be careful here, because there's some Christians that will say, see, the Bible says owe nothing. So that means you should never have a mortgage, you should never have a car payment, you should never have a credit card, and if you do, you're a bad Christian. That's ridiculous. He's not saying owe nothing. But what he is saying is that if you haven't paid your bill, it's hard to invite your banker to church or share the love of Jesus with him. If you don't show honor to someone who maybe doesn't make all the choices that you would honor, but has a position that is right to honor, it's pretty hard to share God's love with that person if all they get from you is disrespect. All they get from you is a social media post. All they get from you is, well, a side of a relationship that's not sustainable. Owe nothing to anyone. That doesn't mean that you never have debts. It means that you don't let them go on and on and on. It's that you see the full picture and you do your part in the relationship. Owe nothing to anyone. Everyone say anyone. This was the word that bothered the Romans. They were reading this letter, and it probably should bother us a little bit too. Owe nothing to anyone. And if you were reading this letter in Rome, you'd say, well, anyone, that doesn't mean like, you know, Caesar, right? He's a jerk. Who elected that guy? Oh, wait, nobody did. He's just using brute force and brutalizing us and oppressing us. And he's got all his guards and his soldiers and his politics and his laws. And we can't even practice our faith without being persecuted. Did you know right before this verse, he said, if you owe taxes, pay them. And they had to be thinking, why would we fund the government whose soldiers crucified our Lord? Come on, Paul. Everything you were saying, like, it was a little hard to follow and a little confusing. We'll think real hard on it for a long, long time. But that one, we can just write that one off, right? Caesar? Really? Owe nothing to anyone? That can't include Caesar. That can't include the people I disagree with. That can't include the people that see it differently than me, right? No. It includes Caesar. Your Caesar. Who is your Caesar? It includes your Caesar, it includes your community. Also, it includes God. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. See, that is such a challenging thing to say, but it came from Paul. And Paul, later, would spend time in this prison, Mamertine prison, which I got to, before we had kids, we actually went to visit Rome. We're like, before we start a family, let's like get out of here. We're gonna go out of country. We'd never been across the pond before. And so we saved up, we went to Rome, and we got to see all the sights. We saw the Colosseum, which by the way, if you've been there, you've seen the big cross in it, right? You walk in, there's this massive cross. Why? to remember all the Christian martyrs that they killed brutally for entertainment there. Welcome to Rome. I got to see Mamertine Prison, and that was, if you know Italian, I'm not even going to try. I was about to read Italian publicly. That was not going to go well. But this prison was the prison where they kept the Apostle Paul before he was beheaded in Rome. Very certainly. Historians also believe this is the prison where they kept the Apostle Peter before he was crucified upside down. This was the spot where Paul wrote part of the New Testament. And it's this Paul who's telling the Romans, you owe it, so give it. You owe it to love one another. Even Caesar. Even Rome. Which is so crazy to think about, right? How are we supposed to do that? How is Paul supposed to do that? Except for your obligation to love one another. Owe nothing to anyone. And so Paul is saying this about the very people that would end his life. But the thing is, they ended his earthly life. And the life that he had loving one another, that's, I mean, how many of you have read a letter from Caesar recently? There's probably one history teacher in all of Hope. How many people across the planet do you think are reading a decree from Caesar? Some history buff somewhere, but how many people across the planet are like me in the seventh grade reading the letter of Romans, and God is speaking to them through this letter that was written? And it's changed their life. I probably wouldn't be here if I wasn't sitting in Power Life one day and reading that letter, and God spoke to me and set me on a different path. See, God, his word is alive and it's active. And when he says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another, you know what he's doing there in this letter? He's saying that all of the commandments of the Bible, everything that God wants you to do, it can be summed up in that, right there. Everything that he wants you to do in the debts that you owe, in the relationships that you have, in your relationship to God, it all is summed up in love one another. Even when it's hard, even when it hurts. Because sometimes it feels like, well, if I love them, are they gonna love me back? I mean, love costs, right? Love, there's a sacrifice involved, right? And so if I'm gonna sacrifice for them, are they gonna sacrifice back? I don't think Caesar's gonna do that. Probably not. But do you know why we have an obligation to love one another? It is not because Caesar deserves it. We don't owe it to Caesar to show love to Caesar. We owe it to Jesus. We owe it to our Savior. See, God, he loved us while we were still his enemies. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so God sent his Son and gave us everything when he owed us nothing. And here's the thing, in our culture, there's a lot of people that they just kind of assume that God owes them something. Hey, I've been really good this year, God, and so you owe me some blessings. Hey, I've been really good this year, so can we make sure that there isn't any suffering or anything like that? Or hey, there is suffering, and so you probably owe me a few good years after this. And so like God sort of has this balancing scale, but God doesn't work like that. In fact, if you've been reading in our Old Testament, you know, because you've been reading through the book of Job. And Job, he suffered just like the Romans suffered under Caesar. And you'd look at his life and say, well, that's not really super fair. And so Job, he had a support squad, some people that were helping him out in his suffering, and one of them was his wife, and this is his wife's advice. You should curse God and die. Thanks, honey. What kind of advice is that? Now, most of us, we wouldn't like go to someone and say, this isn't fair, you should curse God and die. But we might say, I don't know if that God is on your side. Or we might wonder it about our story. We might say, God is being unfair to us. God owes me. You should curse God and die. He probably owes you heaven at this point. Well, his friends come and his friends are supporting him. And it was all going really well until they started talking. Pro tip, if you have someone in your life that's going through a hard time, you remember that thing that they said to you in elementary school? You got 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk. Remember that thing? That's really wise. So go ahead and do that, because Job's friends, they were doing great until they opened their mouth. And when they started to talk and give a sermon rather than to give an ear, what happened was everything went sideways. And they started to basically say, well, God's got to be getting you back for some sin that you've done. And so if you just figure out what that is, then your life will be better. God will owe you a good life when you get rid of your sin. These are thoughts that people have today, especially when we're hurting. But that's not how God works. See, we have a God that's even better than that. We have a God that shows up in the middle of our suffering, in the middle of our death, in the middle of our debts, and he takes them on himself. See, the truth is, none of us are owed anything by God, but he's given us everything. So here's my question. Who do you owe? Who do you owe? All of us owe God, right? Even just because we exist. Some of you are like, no, I owe my mom and dad. Well, who do they owe? My grandma and grandpa, who do they owe? Who do they owe? Who do they owe? Humanity owes God for even existing. Creation owes God for even existing. Matter itself owes God for even existing. The laws of physics owe God for even existing and working and being maintained. Because they came from him and wouldn't exist apart from him. We owe God because in the middle of our sin, he sent his son, and we owed him nothing, or he owed us nothing, and he gave us everything. All of us, we owe God. And if there's one person that's probably good to get settled up with today, it'd be God. Because we all have sin. And you know what's so great about the debt that we have with our sin? You could do the thing where you try to pay it off. You're like, okay, God, I did 12 bad things. Now I'm going to do 12 good things and we'll be even, right? Even Stephen. Except you got way more than 12. You got debt you don't even know about. And the debt is so deep for all of us, myself included. It's so deep that God says, you know what, why don't I pay it? So he sends his son to pay it. And all that we do is we confess, God, I need that payment. I'm not going to be able to do this on my own. I need you to forgive my sins. And so Jesus in his blood on the cross, it wasn't just, we'll just sweep that under the rug and not talk about it, but then you'll kind of know that you owe me. No, he wanted a real and free relationship with you. And so what he did is he paid for it. He took your sin, my sin, our debt, and he put it on the cross. And he held it there as Jesus was crucified. And your debt, it died when Jesus died. And when Jesus rose, your debt stayed in the grave. See, we all owe God. But he set us free to simply owe love to him and one another, to have a relationship of freedom and fulfillment. Who do you owe? For some of us, there is some financial thing that you probably should take care of. And if I hadn't said it already, I just want to make sure that you hear it. Some of you, you are in some financial straits, and it's not because you're lazy, it's because of circumstances. There's someone that you owe, and it's just been weighing on you, and you feel like a prisoner, and you're doing everything that you can. And if you haven't connected with some of the ministries around here that are here to support you, then you should. Hear it loud and clear. Come to those. There's Financial Peace University. There's different seminars that we do. There's even an estate planning seminar on Monday that helps people to steward the resources God has entrusted to them well. And imagine what it'll be like. Because there can be a day where you don't carry that burden anymore financially. And there can be a day where you don't carry that relational burden anymore. So who's the person that you need to call after the service? Who's the person you need to schedule some time with? Who's the person you need to apologize to? Who do you owe some love to? Who's your Caesar? And how will you love Caesar? You know, Caesar tried to change the world with power. But that's not real power. You know what real power is? The most powerful and underrated thing in all of the universe is love. It's why we owe it to Jesus to share it with one another. Our mission as a church is to reach out and share the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. And Paul, he lights a fire under the backsides of the Romans and he says, look, you know that this is urgent. This is all the more urgent to love one another and owe nothing to anyone, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Everyone say, time is running out. You're like, yeah, preacher, when are you going to wrap this up? Okay, let's do it. I got to take 100 teenagers and some staff and leaders to a camp in Florida. It's a beach camp, which basically means that it's like a Bible camp that you're imagining in your head, but just like put it on steroids. We didn't actually do steroids. There were no like drugs. Okay, no drugs. That I know of, and no drugs. And so, God shows up in a big way, and it moves in the lives of our students in this big way, and it's an incredible thing when you get away and spend some time with God like that and build friendships like that. It was an incredible trip. But the whole trip, we were kind of fighting the clock, whether it was the traffic on the way down or figuring out, like, how are we going to get all the things in? And one of the highlights of that trip is when we do baptisms in the Gulf. Because how cool is that, right? Like baptism is amazing on its own, whether it's scoop and pour or full immersion. But when you're a teenager and you could get baptized in the Gulf, that's kind of exciting. And so we're going to do baptisms in the Gulf, and that happens on Thursday, and then there's this cool worship experience afterwards, and we just had the plan all set. We were really excited about it. And then on Wednesday, I saw this other group that was at camp, and I heard them cheering. I'm like, oh, what's going on over there? And they were doing baptisms in the pool. I'm like, well, the Gulf is cooler. Oh. And I don't know why you wouldn't wait till the climactic moment. Because Thursday is when like everybody, that's when everybody's like, yes, I love Jesus, I'm his forever, I'm indebted to him, and maybe I've only given him part of myself, but he gave me everything, so I'm giving him everything. And it's this amazing moment. Well, it turns out that their youth leader was watching the radar. Because gale force winds were on their way in on Thursday. I'd never seen waves that tall in Florida. I'd never seen it. They put the double red flag out, which means that you can either get baptized or in the Gulf or commit a felony. And so we decided no felonies on the church trip, okay, people? And so no felonies, we're gonna have to use the pool. Well, not only were there gale force winds, there was lightning that I was walking from one building to the next, and lightning was just going vroom, like right overhead. And have you ever done this? Like when you're out in a lightning storm, and you're just like, ah, as if it's not gonna strike you, if it's gonna strike you. Oh, I moved 3 inches. And so like, I'm just trying to, you know, save my life. And at the same time, I owe it to these kids. I told them that we would get baptized in the Gulf. I'm talking with my colleagues. It's like, we're Lutheran. We could just get some Dasani and just like pour it on their foreheads. And it's true. And it would be just as powerful. Because it's not the water. It's not the Gulf. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the students, they all had a great attitude about it. One of them was like, I will get in that gross bathtub with all the sand. I'm like, no, that's disgusting. We're not doing that. So it's Thursday night, and we're trying to scramble and figure everything out, and Robert and I were watching this storm. We're not going to get in the water of the Gulf. The pool's off limits because of the lightning. And so we get this bright idea. We're going to get one of those inflatable pools. The camp had a couple of those for a large group game that they were playing. So we got an inflatable pool. And we're like, we're going to fill it up. And then we'll be able to dunk them. And like partway through, while we're carrying this pool through the gale force winds, and it's literally like blowing us backwards. And we're trying to go fill it up with water as if we were going to lift that pool and bring it up to where it was safe. Yeah, right. We looked at each other and said, I think we ran out of time. I don't know if this is going to happen. And that night it didn't happen. But in the morning, there was a miracle. In the morning, yes, the storm was gone. That wasn't the miracle. The miracle was 100 teenagers woke up at 6 a.m. before they had to be up. We just said, hey, the only time we can do this is at 6 a.m. if the weather is good. And they all got up and we all went to the pool. Still double red flags, no felonies, please. And we all go to the pool and we baptized 35 students, and one of the leaders too. Now you can praise God for that. You can praise God because those students, they didn't care if it was Dasani or if it was in the pool. All they cared about was Jesus, because we were in the dark night, but the morning had come. And we're people of the day, the new day. In fact, that's what Paul says in this next verse. He says, wake up. Even if it's 6 a.m., wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You know what that means? It's one day closer to Jesus coming back, friends. It's one day closer until he's here. We should settle up. And our souls can settle down. We should settle up and find the peace that God has for us on this side of heaven, because we're going to see the peace that God has for us on the other side too. See, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation, the day that Jesus returns, it's soon to be here. How urgent does it feel to you to settle up the love that you owe to one another? How urgent does it feel to you to share the everlasting love of Jesus Christ with those around you? Paul is saying, the time is coming soon. And if you're skeptical like me, you'd say, yeah, well, that was like 2,000 years ago. It's been a long time. I guess it was like, what soon mean? I probably got plenty of time. You have no idea. It could literally be this afternoon. This is not an actual time frame. This is a posture of believing that the one who settles our debts is coming soon. And you know what that means? When Jesus comes, see, he already settled our debt of sin on the cross. But when he comes, you know what's going to happen? Is that he's going to go to death. And he's going to look death in the eyes and he's going to say, death, you owe us. You stole people from us. And we're taking them back. We're redeeming them. Jesus Christ is the debt collector from death. And death will have no say. Death will be put in its place. He will go to our Caesar and say, Caesar, you are not king. I am king. I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And what Caesar has stolen, he will redeem. He's the one who settles all of the debts that we owe, the debts that are owed to us, the debts that we can't force anyone to pay back, the things that are lost, but they're not lost to Jesus. And he's coming soon, church. He's coming soon. So you owe it to him to love even Caesar. Because when he comes, well, it's hard to settle down when we're not settled up. But when he comes, it'll all be settled up. And for eternity, our souls will settle down in him. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing a song to respond to God's word. And what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to stand. This song, it talks about the power of God showing up and breaking through into our lives and putting this miracle inside of us. So what I want you to do is, as you sing the song, I want you to sing this and imagine Jesus' return, settling all the debts that you see, the things that you're owed and the things that you owe, and let his love inspire you to then go in that peace and serve the Lord by loving one another. So let's sing together.